Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so let's take a deep dive into Roche Holdings' third quarter performance this year. We've got a lot to cover. Their earnings call, transcript, news articles, financial reports, really a goldmine of information here.
Absolutely. We're going to break it all down. So consider this your backstage pass to really understanding what's making Roche tick, what's driving their success, and what they've got planned for the coming year.
Right off the bat, it's clear Roche had a strong Q3. Group sales were up 6% compared to last year, same time.
Yeah, and it gets even more interesting when you take out the sales related to COVID. Their core business, everything outside of the pandemic, is really doing exceptionally well.
But booming.
Exactly. 8% growth in their core business, a real testament to their diverse portfolio, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not just one sector. We're seeing this positive trend across the board. Pharmaceuticals, diagnostics, both divisions are performing really strongly.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Starting with pharmaceuticals, 7% growth year to date, hitting CHF $34.3 billion in sales. And that's not even the whole picture.
Right. When you take Ronapreve out of the equation, that's their COVID-19 treatment, the growth jumps to 9%.
Wow.
That's pretty significant. It really highlights the power of their innovative brands. Vabysmo, Phesgo, Ocrevus, Hemlibra, Polivy, Arizdi, all major players in their success.
Some real standout performers there. Vabysmo and Phesgo, they're actually exceeding market expectations, which is a great sign. Strong demand for those therapies. And then you have Levities, their gene therapy for DMD.
Okay. A real game changer. First approved gene therapy for DMD. And already it's generated CHF $137 million in sales from just 6 countries outside the U.S.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning, I imagine.
Exactly. Shows you the unmet need in this area, the potential for gene therapies to really make a difference for challenging diseases like DMD.
Now on to the diagnostics division.
Mm.
Also a strong quarter 5% increase year to date, hitting CHF $10.7 billion in sales. And what's really striking is their base business growth.
Right. 8% growth there, exceeding expectations. And they're anticipating this to continue into 2025. So things are looking really good.
And they're achieving this even with the slowdown in China that's anticipated due to current macroeconomic conditions.
Right. It really speaks to their global strength and the resilience of their diagnostics business.
Absolutely. Strategically positioned to navigate those challenges and maintain that growth trajectory.
For sure. Now let's dig into some of the specific products and developments that are fueling this success story.
Like Itovebi, recently approved in the U.S. for breast cancer. Really strong FDA label. And it's projected to potentially reach peak sales of over CHF 2 billion.
Yeah, and that's just for hormone receptor positive breast cancer alone.
Right, that's just one type. Itovebi has potential to expand into other tumor types, so that impact could be even greater.
Absolutely. And to strengthen their foothold in the breast cancer space, they made a strategic acquisition of Regor Therapeutics.
Smart move.
Yeah, it adds this promising CDK46 portfolio to their pipeline. It really emphasizes their commitment to tackling this disease head on.
Building a comprehensive toolkit. I like that. Now let's talk about Hemlibra. Their treatment for hemophilia A continues to perform exceptionally well. U.S. EU5 patient share reaching 42%.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah. And they're not stopping there. They're already working on NXT007 next generation bispecific antibody for hemophilia A. This one has the potential to completely eliminate bleeding episodes, even without factor VIII treatment.
Wow.
That's a game changer for patients living with this condition. Talk about freedom and peace of mind.
Yeah. No more constant worry about the risk of bleeds. It's incredible how they're pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely. It really shows their dedication to not just treating symptoms, but actually finding innovative solutions that can transform lives.
And speaking of transformative treatments, Pleiadi, their therapy for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, is making a real impact globally. Over 35,000 patients treated.
It's amazing to see that reach. And the upcoming ASH conference will feature 5-year overall survival data for Polivy in first-line DLBCL, so we'll get even more insights into its long-term benefits.
Definitely something to watch out for. Now shifting gears to Ocrevus, their leading treatment for multiple sclerosis. Big news with their new subcutaneous formulation, Zunovo.
Right. Expected to become a CHF 2 billion sales opportunity. It offers a much more convenient treatment option for patients without compromising on efficacy.
So win-win for both sides.
Exactly. It's a perfect example of how Roche is constantly innovating to improve patient experience and expand access to their therapies.
And the innovation doesn't stop there. They're also working on fenebrutinib, an oral BTK treatment for MS phase 3 trial results expected in 2025.
Early data looks promising, showing near complete suppression of disease activity and disability progression for up to 48 weeks. An effective oral treatment option would be a huge step forward.
It really is remarkable how they're constantly pushing the envelope, exploring new frontiers in MS treatment, from new formulations to entirely novel therapies.
It's that dedication to pushing boundaries that sets Roche apart. They're giving people living with MS real hope for a brighter future.
It's amazing how they're constantly working to improve the lives of people living with MS, giving them hope for a brighter future.
Absolutely. And their dedication to addressing these really serious conditions, it doesn't stop there. Let's move on to Evrysdi, the global market leader for SMA spinal muscular atrophy.
Over 16,000 patients treated worldwide. This treatment is clearly making a real difference.
Oh, absolutely. The 2-year Rowan-Botha study is really compelling. It shows sustained efficacy and safety in newborns with pre-symptomatic SMA.
It's really inspiring to see how Roche is not just focusing on treating the symptoms, but investing in these long-term solutions that can really help patients manage their conditions effectively.
Yeah, it really highlights their patient-centric approach, you know, going beyond just developing drugs, but really focusing on improving patient outcomes and quality of life.
Now let's turn our attention to Xolair, which has successfully expanded into the food allergy market. Over 30,000 patients are now on treatment.
It's a whole new market for them. It really shows their ability to adapt and apply their expertise to these diverse medical needs.
It speaks to their strategic thinking and their commitment to finding these innovative solutions to unmet medical needs.
And they're projecting some pretty impressive growth for Xolair in this market. They're looking at a mid-teens growth rate in 2025 and no expected U.S. biosimilar launches in the same year. So they're really well positioned for continued success.
Back to ophthalmology. Vabysmo continues to just dominate expanding U.S. market shares.
Yeah.
And the rapid adoption of its new pre-filled syringe, making treatment much more convenient for patients.
Yeah, that prefilled syringe is a great example of how they pay attention to the details. You know, the little things that can really make a big difference in the patient experience, make treatment easier, more accessible.
It shows that they're really thinking about that patient journey and finding ways to improve every step of the way. Now, Susvimo is currently undergoing a commercial relaunch in the U.S. for AMD age-related macular degeneration.
Yeah, and the projected implant targets for Susvimo are pretty impressive. Several hundred in 2024, then several thousand in 2025, and they're projecting roughly 10,000 in 2026.
Wow, that indicates some strong confidence in the long-term potential of this treatment.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to see how they're really carefully managing this relaunch, focusing on building trust and ensuring a smooth transition for patients.
It reflects their commitment to responsible, patient-centered healthcare, right? It's not just about getting the treatment out there. It's about making sure it's implemented effectively and safely.
Exactly. Now, switching gears a bit, let's talk about Roche's commitment to tackling obesity. This is a huge global health challenge with far-reaching implications.
And their investment in this area is truly commendable. You know, obesity is a complex issue. It requires these really innovative solutions, and Roche is stepping up to the plate.
They've got a robust pipeline of potential treatments. CT388 and CT996 are considered potential best-in-class therapies.
And then there's CT868, which holds promise for patients with both type 1 diabetes and obesity.
It's great to see this multifaceted approach, you know, exploring various mechanisms of action, targeting different patient populations, increases the likelihood of finding those really effective and personalized treatments.
They're tackling a complex issue head-on, recognizing that a one-size-fits-all approach just won't cut it. Now, zooming out a bit, what's the overall outlook for Roche in 2024?
The outlook is positive. They anticipate continued strong base business growth in both their pharmaceuticals and diagnostics divisions.
There are challenges, of course. They're anticipating declines in COVID-19 sales and the impact of loss of exclusivity for certain products.
Right. They're estimating about CHF 1.1 billion less in COVID-19 sales and a CHF 1.4 billion impact from loss of exclusivity. This includes Actemra's biosimilar launch.
But even with those headwinds, their strong financial standing allows them to pursue strategic acquisitions and partnerships.
Absolutely, ensuring that they remain at the forefront of the healthcare industry.
That focus on maintaining a strong pipeline across their key therapeutic areas really speaks to their long-term vision and commitment to driving innovation.
It's this balance of financial strength and strategic investment that really makes Roche a leader in the global healthcare landscape.
Now let's shift our focus to Roche Diagnostics and delve a bit deeper into their performance and some of the exciting developments within this division. So Roche Diagnostics, a really impressive third quarter. They hit CHF 10.7 billion in sales year to date. That's a 5% increase at constant exchange rates.
Yeah, and a lot of that growth is coming from their strong base business. You know, they saw an 8% increase there. It shows they can deliver consistent results, even with all the global economic uncertainty we're seeing.
So they've set the bar high, aiming for mid to high single-digit base business growth. That's ambitious.
It is. It really shows their confidence in their ability to keep innovating and grabbing market share. Let's break it down a bit. Their core lab segment had a particularly strong quarter. Sales up 9%.
Wow, what was driving that?
Well, they saw double-digit increases in immunodiagnostics and clinical chemistry, and solid growth in custom biotech. It really highlights the breadth of their offerings and how they can cater to so many different labs around the world.
It's not just traditional lab testing, though. Their molecular lab segment also had solid growth, 4%, driven by their virology and blood screening businesses.
Right. And get this. If you exclude COVID-19 sales, their molecular lab actually grew by 8%. So the underlying strength of their non-COVID molecular diagnostics business is definitely there.
Seems like they've got a really solid foundation supporting their overall growth. Now, their point of care segment saw a decline, mainly due to lower COVID-19 rapid antigen testing sales. Was that expected?
Oh, yeah. The decline in COVID-19 testing sales was totally anticipated. But they're not just sitting back. They're launching their own continuous glucose monitoring solution, the AccuCheck Smart Guide, in select European countries. So they're positioning themselves for the future.
Smart move. Adapting to that changing healthcare landscape, investing in new tech, that's going to meet those evolving needs of patients.
It's all about being proactive, staying ahead of the curve. Now their pathology lab segment saw a whopping 15% growth.
That's huge. What's behind that?
Their strength in advanced staining reagents and their companion diagnostics business is really booming. Actually, their companion diagnostics business grew by 35%, which just goes to show how important personalized medicine is becoming.
Yeah, companion diagnostics are so crucial for identifying the patients who will really benefit from those specific therapies. It's a targeted approach that can really make a difference.
Absolutely. And Roche is leading the charge in that field. So on top of that strong performance, Roche Diagnostics has been busy with new product launches.
They've already hit 9 out of the 12 launches they had planned for 2024, and they're on track to deliver the remaining 3 by the end of the year.
That's impressive. Shows their commitment to innovation and their ability to execute. Let's talk about some of those launches.
Yeah.
The Cobas Pro Serology Solution, for example, that allows them to jump into the serology testing segment of the U.S. donor screening market.
That's strategic. The U.S. represents over 40% of the global serology market.
Exactly. And they're offering this complete solution, nucleic acid testing serology workflow automation. They're in a great position to grab a big chunk of that market.
Another big one is the FDA approval for self-collection for their Cobas HPV test. Could be a game changer for cervical cancer screening.
Huge. It gives women more control over their health and could really improve participation in screening programs, especially for underserved populations.
Love that. They're using technology to tackle healthcare disparities and improve access to those vital services.
Now there's also the Cobas Respiratory Flex, offering flexible syndromic panel testing on their existing Bi-800 installed base.
So that's a big step forward in respiratory testing. Allows providers to really tailor the testing to the specific needs of their patients and whatever viruses are circulating.
And it's all automated on their Bi-800 family of instruments, so it's efficient, reliable, easy to integrate into the lab workflow.
Then there's their acquisition of Lumeridex, which they completed in July of this year, bringing in some really exciting point-of-care testing technology.
Yeah, Lumeridex tech is pretty amazing. Imagine being able to perform clinical chemistry, amino assays, potentially even molecular diagnostics, all on a single consumable on one instrument.
It's like a mini lab right there in the doctor's office. Could revolutionize healthcare delivery. especially in areas where access to traditional labs is limited.
Game changer, especially for those low and middle income countries, really aligns with Roche's commitment to improving global health equity by making those essential diagnostic tests more accessible.
So it's pretty clear Roche is firing on all cylinders. Their core businesses are thriving, launching innovative products, expanding into new markets, demonstrating a real commitment to global health equity.
They're not just keeping up with the changes in healthcare, they're shaping the future. It's exciting to see what they're doing, and I can't wait to see what they accomplish in the coming years.
And we'll be here to cover it all. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.